Good morning. We want to welcome each person to have a righteous and wonderful relationship with God. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Can we get right with God this morning?
Yes, sir.
Thank you for coming, those who are in the assembly this morning. I think we're on the 8 a.m.s. And we thank those who are here. We thank those who are coming by social media. And we are prayerful this morning that something might be said that will encourage us in our walk with God. I want to certainly appreciate Brother Barry for those songs. And we really, really appreciate, again, I'm in the Glory Land Way. And there's an invitation even in the song. If you're not in the Glory Land Way, you can get in the Glory Land Way. Thank you, Brother Murphy, for those encouraging words in prayer. And as was mentioned, we are glad that God has blessed us to be back in the city of Houston. We had a wonderful time. My wife and I had a great opportunity to go up to the Church of Christ in Middletown, New York. And we were up there for 16 days. That's as long as we've been gone from home when I wasn't actually on the job at any time. So we really had a wonderful time up there. And we had typically each year gone up and we hold a gospel meeting in Middletown, New York. And Brother Gregory Johnson, who is the son of Sister Pearl Johnson and Brother Henry Johnson, is the minister there. And he and his wife, Karen, are doing a wonderful work in the Middletown Church of Christ. It's so great in the mountains of New York, and my wife get up there and she turned into a nature lover. So it's so beautiful, so beautiful up there. And Brother Johnson is doing an amazing job. He did not come up intending to be a preacher. Brother Gary, sounds like us. Huh? Sound like you? But somebody needed to do the job. And it's just an amazing thing that when you go to the Middletown Church of Christ, you have to go to Goshen. It's in the Goshen section. And if you remember your Bible history, that's when Pharaoh had the children of Israel come down to Israel. He put them where? Over in the land of Goshen. That's where God's people were. So the church of Middletown, you go to Goshen to get over to the Middletown Church of Christ. And they are wonderful, wonderful people. And some of them may be joining us this morning on social media. They say that they do tune in with us from time to time. It's just so ironic. I'm going to get into the lesson here in just a moment. But it's wonderful and amazing. Up in Johnson is where Brother Gregory Johnson lives. And when you go, not Johnson City, but in Johnson in the mountains, you go to Johnson. And when you get into Johnson, you go down Gregory Street. And you turn off of Gregory Street to get to Fairway, to get to where he lives. So it's just amazing. So many ironies up there. And the brothers have every morning. There's like we have our conference call. It's every day through the week. Every day through the week, there's a Bible conference. So we spend a lot of time talking about the Word of God, go in somebody's house, and a Bible study break out. I'm saying all this because some of y'all saw my pictures on Facebook where I caught the big fish. Perspective. Some of y'all saw where I was doing my exercises. But we spent some time with the Word of God. Meet with us, if you will, in the book of 1 Samuel. Thank you, Brother Murphy, for reading those names so I can have an idea how I might want to pronounce them. And we're going to start here, but this is still going through our 365-day journey through the Bible. There's so much in there. Have you ever taken a bite out of meat on a bone? And when you take a bite out, you look at it, and there's still a whole bunch of meat left on the bone. What do you do with it? Keep working on it. You gotta just take one bite and throw it away. Well, we're going to start here, and we're going to talk about some things this morning. And we're going to talk about some assumptions. Assumptions. And when we talk about assumptions, I know in the business world when I was working, whenever you say the word assumption, somebody had something to say about assumptions. Some of y'all have already had that pop in your mind. Ask God to bless you, brother. Because we're going to find that people, even today, are guilty of making assumptions. And what are some of the assumptions that people make? When we start talking about assumptions, we have people like we're going to find in 1 Samuel. And in 1 Samuel chapter 1, the Bible says, "Now there was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of Mount Ephraim. His name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, and Ephrathite. Now, this is interesting because this is in the Word of God. Some people don't like to talk about race, and we won't talk about race, and we'll just go ahead and go with the, we won't worry about the slides, let's just go ahead and go with the verses of Scripture, and we'll work through these. But this man's name is listed. His daddy's name is listed. His daddy's daddy's name is listed. The tribe that he's from is listed. And all of this, my brother, yes, it does, and it will, and it can make a difference with regard to who we are. All right, in terms of the assumptions that we make. So we're going to find here that the priest is going to make an assumption about one of the people who is going to be in the house of God. And brother, just go ahead and we'll go through the scriptures. We're going to take the title down. We'll just work through the verses. We don't seem to be advancing here. Okay, so we'll just work through the scriptures. You don't mind if I take my glasses out so I can see what I'm doing, do you? Thank you. Now I got to see where I'm going. All right. Thank you. All right, so we're going to see that there was assumptions that are made. And we're going to see that not only are there assumptions made about those people, there are folk in the body of Christ. When we come together, we make assumptions about one another. And as members of the family of God, we need to be careful about the assumptions that we make. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 2, he had two wives. A lot of meat on this bone. This man had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. It's an amazing thing here that we find over and over again in the Bible that there are people that are in a relationship, family relationship, and there's a desire to have children, and sometimes the wife is not able to have a child. And this lady, we're going to walk through these verses here, and we're going to see the assumption that the priest makes about her. He's going to see that this woman is in the house of God, and he's going to say, oh, she's drunk. Now, people, when you come to the house of God, are looking at you whether you know it or not. They make some assumptions about you. They make assumptions about how you wear your hair. They make assumptions about what kind of clothes you wear. They make assumptions based upon the shoes that are on your feet. People make assumptions that we need to make sure that we are not guilty of making assumptions. I would say instead of making assumptions, let's investigate and get the facts. In John chapter 5 and verse number 39, the Bible reminds us to search the scriptures. Is that right? Why? Search the scriptures. Because in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. We back in business? All right. We'll discontinue? All right. No, we'll just go. Just go ahead and we'll go through the scriptures. All right, so don't worry about it. Man, I put a, Brother Murphy, I did a Murphy. I made a good slideshow. You're going to miss it. Y'all going to miss it. All right, but it's okay. So here, he had two wives. And verse number 3 of 1 Samuel chapter 1, we see that each year, this man went up out of his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice unto the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. That's when the house of God was in Shiloh. And when we have family, is it okay to bring our family to the house of God? Oh, Lord, we ought to come to the house of God every time that we have opportunity. And when we come to the house of God, don't you leave those children at home. I know that we're in a pandemic now and people are worried and said, well, we can't bring our children right now and you have to make those judgment calls. But I'm saying that we want to make sure that all of our family, when we come together, are encouraged by the word of God and to learn of God and to serve the great God of heaven. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 4. Look at this. Elkanah offered. He gave to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and daughters portions. Now, Peninnah had a bunch of kids. And somebody don't think that's a blessing, but I'm telling you, when you got all those children running around, that's a blessing from the Lord. Children are the heritage of the Lord. Blessed is the man that hath his quiver full. Fill up your quiver as much as you can, my brother, my sister. These were a blessing, and certainly he gave portions to all of his children, all of her sons, all of her daughters. A man ought to provide for his household. Amen. And I know we have blended families across the United States, across the country today. Some folk come into a marriage and you got kids and she's got kids and they've got kids that are by other folk. But when you come into a family, our responsibility is to rear up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. And yes, somebody ought to pay some bills. Somebody ought to buy some groceries. Somebody ought to put shoes on your feet. If we grow up in a household where we've got folk that are doing the job that they've been called to do and taking care of their family, it is a testimony for the great God of heaven. The Bible shows us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 8 that if a man will not provide for his own house, though, listen, if you got children all over the place and you're not taking care of them, thank you, brother. Shame on you. But not only shame on you, the Bible says that that person, that man, has denied the faith. It's a beautiful thing. I did not grow up in the house with my biological dad. I told you, children are like arrows in the hand of Almighty. How far can you go when you got a dad at home supporting and taking care of his own children and rearing them up and the nurture and the admonition of the Lord? How far can you go? But brother, listen, sister, listen. Whether they do their job or not, we are individuals. And we have our own responsibilities. No matter what our parents did or did not do, we've got to stand on our own two feet. So let's make those righteous choices in the eyes of God and the family of God. I just want to suggest to you that you need to take care of your children. I was just overwhelmed the first time that I came to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ back in 1974. Yeah, I remember. You know what was impressive to me when I came to the Fifth Ward Church of Christ and I came to worship here and I saw all of these black men. Yes, yes. You say, well, brother, don't say. Listen, did you read 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 1 all over again? Look, I saw black men with black women that had their children sitting around them praising God. Somebody ought to say, thank you, God. Thank you that we can rear up our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I was overwhelmed. I had never seen anything like that before in my life. It made an impression on me. It's like, wow, man, what is it like to stay home and to raise your children and to bring them up in the house of God? Now, he provided for his children. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 5. I want you to see this. Here come a little trouble. But unto Hannah, he gave worthy portions. He gave her a big portion, but there's a problem. The Lord had shut up her womb. There are some limitations that we cannot overcome. And it breaks our hearts. Hannah wanted a child, but the Lord had not blessed her. Do you know that there are some folk that will pick on you because of what God has allowed to manifest in our lives? It's a terrible situation that we have adversaries. We have enemies. In verse number 6, 1 Samuel chapter 5, verse number 6, her adversary also provoked her sore. You got an enemy? Somebody say you ain't nobody unless you got enemies. I told you I have enemies, but I don't even try to make them. I don't know why it is, but I told you I'm just good at aggravating people for some reason. Even when I'm not trying, I'm pretty good at aggravating people. And sometimes I guess I might be trying, but I don't really want to make an enemy. But she had an adversary because of what the Lord was not allowing to take place in her life. But her husband gave her a double portion, but a rival kept provoking her. And then First Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 7, look at this. Not only was he provoking her, but when they came up to the house of God, you think, Brother Gary, sometimes I hear you preach and say, they ain't in here. Sometimes they are. Sometimes folk in the house of God don't act the way that we ought to act. Now notice this. In verse number 7, and as he did year by year, she went up to the house of the Lord, so she provoked her. Are you kidding me? Come into the house of God, there were folk that will aggravate you. Yes, they will. And not only did she do it one time, she did it year after year, every year that she would go, you ain't got no children. Look at all my children. And she provoked her sore. Therefore, she wept and she did not eat. Now, Elkanah, we're going to find out, is a very wise man. He's got two wives. But I'm going to tell you, when you got strife in the family between those two wives or your children and the other children that you got out there, or the mama that you got out there and the mama that you got at home, brother, listen, you better get some wisdom real quick. I'll tell you what Elkanah did not do. He did not go there. Now, Peninnah, let me talk to you, girl. Come here. You know what? You better leave Hannah. No. Notice he did not do that at all. Her adversary provoked her sore. But notice what this man did in verse number 8. 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 8, the husband would say, Hannah, baby, why aren't you eating? Why are you weeping? Why is thy heart grieved? Girl, ain't I better to you than more than 10 sons? Now, wives, here's an opportunity for you to reinforce some concepts for your husband. Anytime your husband do anything that's halfway right, you need to let him know, baby, you the man. Oh, yeah, baby. Am I not better to you than 10 sons? Sisters, what's the answer to that? Sisters, let me hear you. What's the answer to that? Ain't I good to you, wife? Brother Gary, we're going to need to work on some of this in the marriage wisdom. Now, I tell the sisters, look, men are a whole lot like puppy dogs. Men are a whole lot like puppy dogs. Anytime he halfway do something right, you just scratch him behind the head and tell him, oh, you did a good job. And he can't wait to do something else that's good. So you can train us in the way that we should go. All right, sisters, don't y'all tell the husbands that I told y'all that secret. And you know, some of y'all gonna get a scratch behind the head today. But here's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for her. And she did not use this one. But sisters, y'all use that opportunity. 1 Samuel chapter 1. And let's get on the way to verse number 9. Because sometimes in your life, you just come to the point where somebody, you got to just stand up. No matter what the circumstances are in life, you just have to stand up. Her wife's sister, whatever she is, her husband's other wife, and those children, all of them ate all the food and everything, and they feasted, and Hannah just stood up. So Hannah rose up after she had eaten in Shiloh, after they had eaten in Shiloh, and they had drunk. She rose up. Sometimes you got to just stand up for yourself, brother. Sometimes you got to just stand up for yourself, sister. Take it to the Lord. Take our burdens to the Lord. And what do we do when we take our burden to the Lord? Leave it. Don't keep picking it back up. Take our burden to the Lord and leave it there. And Hannah stood up after they had drunk. And now Eli, the priest, sat by the seat upon a seat by a post in the temple of the Lord. And Hannah is a sister of a broken heart. And when we come to the house of God, you got to understand, you might shake our hands and ask us, how you doing, brother? And we do the stock answer, don't we? Oh, I'm doing well. We say that so many times, and we got turmoil in our lives. We got trouble in our lives. And sometimes people come to the house of God, and they're burdened down. And it's okay for folk to come to God's house burdened down. Can we come and leave our burdens before God? But sometimes people are not willing to tell us, and she's not going to tell right now. Eli is watching her. Verse 10, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She's talking to God, and she's weeping sore, and she's talking to God. Her lips are moving, but no words are coming out. And her expression is different from the other people that are there. The Bible shows us how folk again are watching us. Folk are watching you. Folk are watching me. In verse number 11, she made a vow unto the Lord. Lord, you give me a child, I'm going to bring him up, and he's going to know you, and he's going to serve you. And certainly there's a great blessing that she is going to encounter. In 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verse number 12, look at this. And it came to pass, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth. Yeah, there's some people that have the responsibility and role for watching. And yeah, if somebody act up, Brother Gary, we want them on them. But don't make an incorrect assumption. He watched her mouth. Now, Hannah, verse number 13, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli thought that she had been drunk. That she was, you know what he did? He made an assumption. Brother, listen. Sister, listen. Don't assume. Investigate. Now, he's going to act on his assumption. That's the wrong thing to do. We got people all across this country that are acting on assumptions. They are not doing any investigation. Don't just accept something that somebody tells you. Do your own research. Do your own investigation and act with intelligence. We have a divided country that on certain sections of this country, people are literally willing to go to war over false assumptions. I'm not talking about outside the country. I'm talking about in the country. I'm talking about in your neighborhood, in my neighborhood. Check the facts. And make decisions based upon the truth. At least he went to her in verse number 14. I like that, because sometimes folk make assumptions. They go tell everybody else, oh, Lord. Did you see the way Brother Ray wobbled up that step? I think he done had a little something. He went to her, though. He says to her in verse number 14, Eli said unto her, how long will thou be drunken? Put away thy wine. Girl, stop that drinking. Don't be coming up here to God's house all drinking and drunken stuff. So when folk bring the accusation of their assumption to you, then you have an opportunity to act or react. In verse number 15, Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit, and I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but have poured out my soul before the Lord. We don't know, as I said, what people are going through sometimes. Don't assume. People sometimes are going through some traumatic events in their lives. We have the loss of loved ones. We have folk that don't treat us right. We have folk that talk about us. We have all of those things going on in our individual lives. And sometimes we come to the house of God and we just want to talk to God. Lord, help me. Can we come to the house of God? Sometimes folk like Hannah, stand up. God, help me. You better be careful. We don't do too much standing in the church now, until it's time. But I'm saying to you, listen, brother. Listen, sister. Don't assume. Investigate. Search the scriptures. All right, we're going to have to move on to the next section here. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, or chapter 1 verse, and let's get verse number 16. She says, "Count not thy handmaid for a daughter of Belial, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto." So she got a chance to set the record straight. So when you bring our assumptions to the individual, if you come and talk to us about it, sometimes we can let our guard down and we can tell you what's really going on. You know, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just talking to the Lord. Out of the abundance of my complaint, Lord, help me. I need some help. And if you've ever needed help in your life, we can understand and we can empathize and we can walk in that brother's shoes. We can walk in that sister's shoes and we can support one another and we can build one another up instead of tearing one another down. Don't assume, investigate. All right, you know I try to get you to help me and see if anybody's paying attention, but also to see if you're still awake. All right, here you go. Say this with me, if you will, or after me. Don't assume, investigate.
Don't assume, investigate.
Very good, very good. Brothers, everybody did a lot better. I think that's because the brothers were in on this too than that question about, what do you say to your husband? We had more participation. That's good. All right. Don't assume, investigate. Let's go to another assumption, because people make all kinds of assumptions. Let's go to John chapter 10. In John chapter 10, and in verse number 22. In John chapter 10 and verse number 22. Can we get that one? The Bible says, "And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews around about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly." People came to Jesus and said, "Well, now, Jesus, if you are the Christ, just tell us plainly whether or not you are the Christ." That's a good thing, isn't it? They come to Jesus. Anytime somebody come to Jesus, is that a good thing? But they came to Jesus, and Jesus, we want to know, are you the one? Are you the one that Isaiah and Jeremiah prophesied about? Are you the one that's going to come and you're going to restore the kingdom and return it to Israel? Are you the one? If you are the one, tell us plainly. Notice in John chapter 10, and let's get verse number, I took my glasses off. I better make sure. What verse was that looking at? All right. In John chapter 10 and verse, what one? 26. All right. Is it still in there? All right, John chapter 10 and verse number 26. Notice what Jesus says. The Bible says, "But ye believe me not." Let me get verse number 25. "But I told you," and didn't finish it. Okay. "The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me." The works that I do, they bear witness of me. "But ye believe me not." Jesus said, "I told you already." But what do they assume about Jesus? They said, "This man got a demon. He is devil possessed. Why are you listening to him?" When they assumed that Jesus had a devil, was that a correct assumption? Or was it an incorrect assumption? What did Jesus ever do or say that was wrong? Find it in the Bible. Show us what Jesus ever said or did that was wrong. Let me just say this to you. That when you buy the truth, as the proverb writer says in Proverbs 23 and 23, buy the truth, sell it not. Hold on to the truth. And it doesn't matter, folks, saying that we're using that word dogmatic. Dogmatic can use, it has more than one use. Now, if you're standing on true principles, that's one thing. Buy the truth. Sell it not. Get instruction. Get learning. Get wisdom. Hold on to it. But now, if it's my opinion and I'm dogmatic about it, I'm holding on to my opinion. Is there a difference between what the truth is and what my opinion is? And Brother Gary, I say this oftentimes, that as preachers, we need to make sure that we let folk know the difference between our opinions and what is true. I'm going to tell you, I have some opinions. If you want to know my opinion, I tell you my opinion, but I don't come up here to give you my opinion. I come up here to give you what thus saith the Lord. And hold on to what thus saith the Lord. Folk make incorrect assumptions about Jesus. This man got a devil. And he says, but ye believe me not. In verse number 26, why didn't they believe him? Why didn't they believe him? Verse 26, he says, because you are not my sheep. You know what God's people do? You know what God's sheep do? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. You can't hear me because you are not my sheep. And if folk cannot get the word of God, listen, we do what we can. By the truth, sell it not. Stand on the truth of God. And folk accept it, great. If they don't accept it, great. But teach and preach the word of God. By the truth, don't sell it. Jesus says, I told you and you believe me not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. And now notice, this is going to be a problem for some of God's people. Let me ask you, is there room in the house of God for more folks? What if they don't look like you? What if they don't look like me? You know, what if they're different ethnicity? What if they don't make the same kind of money that Brother Barry makes? This is Brother Barry over here. Oh, not that you don't make money, Brother Barry. Brother Barry used to come and support us quite a bit when I was over at the Highland Garden Church of Christ over there. And he always caused me trouble when he would come over there. Because he'd come over there and he'd be dressed so nice, so fine and everything. My wife said, why can't you dress like that? Yeah, that Barrett, that one over there. But we have, listen, to stand on the word of God. Is that okay? Is that too much to ask? Stand on what thus saith the Lord. Because if we stand on what thus saith the Lord, it's going to be all right. Jesus is saying, I've got other sheep. Verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And they follow me. Follow Jesus. Hold on to his word. He says in verse 28, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. And listen, nobody can pluck you out of Jesus' hands. It doesn't matter who your daddy is now. It doesn't matter who your mama is now. It doesn't matter who your sister or your brother is now. It depends on you. Come to Jesus. Don't assume. Investigate. Hold on to the truth that is from the word and the will of God. In John chapter 7, in verse number 27. John chapter 7 and verse number 27. The booth is going, okay, wait a minute, what's he doing now? Look, you see, people made some assumptions about Jesus based upon what they thought they knew. Because they know that the scripture is going to teach us that when Jesus comes, nobody knows where he's from. And this is the other point I like to try to get folk to understand. Let us not let what we know or we think that we know keep us from learning what we need to learn. Is that all right? Look at this. In John chapter 7 and verse number 27. Is that still in the Bible? The Bible says, howbeit we know this man, whence he is. But when Christ cometh, no man knoweth whence he is. Well, they're saying that, well, he can't be Christ. He can't be the Messiah. He can't be the chosen one, because look, we know his mama. You see where they think they're going down the DNA. We know his mama. We know his daddy. We know his sisters. We know his brothers. So he can't be the Messiah, because when the Messiah comes, we won't know where he's from. What were they missing? They didn't know that this was the son that was born in Bethlehem. They didn't know when the slayer came, God had sent his son into Egypt. And that when God had called his son out of Egypt, he came back and they ended up in Nazareth. They just saw that there was a boy that was with Joseph and Mary, and they thought that was Joseph's biological child, and that he was born in Nazareth, and this boy ain't never been anywhere. They made an assumption. They did. Don't assume. Investigate. Don't assume. Investigate. So they accused Jesus of being a devil. If they accused Jesus of being a devil, what do you think they're going to say about us? They accuse Jesus of not only being the devil, they accuse him of being the biggest devil. And they were going to stone him to death. And Jesus said, for which of the miracles that I've done are you going to say stone me? He said, well, we're not going to stone you because you did any miracles. We're going to stone you because you got a devil. And he never said or done anything wrong. All he did was hold on to the truth, the word of God. Let's go to Romans chapter 10 real quick. Don't assume you're saved. We have a lot of folk that come along with us and visit with us. And we love for our friends and our family to come and visit with us. But there's some things that you need to know. Let's get Romans chapter 10 and we'll start at verse number 1. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. Listen, friends, we love you. We love having guests come and sit in the assembly. We love having guests on social media. We love the Bible questions that you post on our Facebook pages. That's all wonderful. But listen, there's something that you need to know. That you need not make an assumption that you're saved, but investigate. Look at Romans chapter 10 and verse number 1. This is Apostle Paul now. He says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. Does that verse tell you something? His heart's desire. I love my people. My heart's desire. And I'm praying for my people. My desire to God is that they might. Israel, I want y'all to be saved. Why? You are not saved. For I bear them record. They are zealous. They have a zeal of God. They are religious. We have a lot of religious friends. We have a lot of religious family. But they are not saved. Who's going to tell them? Don't be embarrassed or ashamed. Now, what we don't want to do is go up there and go like, you know what? You lost and you're going to hell. No, we want to teach. Teach the word of God so they can see the difference and make a decision based upon information. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they which testify of me. Let's get them to search. Let's search the scriptures together. Notice. Verse 3. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness have not yielded themselves or submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Friend, don't assume. Please investigate. If you want to study with us, call us. Call the number for those of you on social media that will come up on the screen. Call us. Somebody will put the number in the chat. Call us. We would love to have a Bible study with you. We want to search the scriptures with you. We don't want you to assume. As members of the church, let's learn how to give people the benefit of the doubt and let's investigate and make a decision based upon fact rather than on what we assume. Don't make assumptions. Investigate. You know, Jesus came to save the world. The scripture teaches us that he died for our sins. He died for your sins. He died for mine. In Acts, the second chapter, and if you pick up at verse number 36, it's a beautiful, beautiful understanding that people can come to when we teach the word of God. In Acts chapter 2 and verse number 36, I want you to notice, the Bible says, therefore, let all of the house of Israel know assuredly, what did God do? Did you see that? That God hath made that? That same. God is not going to change for us. He's not going to change for you. He's not going to change for me. God gave him that same Jesus. And he said, he has now made him what? Lord. Brother, put it back up. Lord and Christ. That's not my opinion. That's what thus saith the Lord. So when we understand and we get people to understand that Jesus is both Lord and Christ, the Bible says, now when they heard this, some folk are going to hear it. Some folk are going to receive the word of God. If you are not in the church that Jesus built, you are not in the body of Christ. You are not saved, my friend. We love you, but you're zealous, you're religious, but not according to knowledge. He says, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. Is that in your Bible? Is that in yours? Now what do we do? Men and brethren, what shall we do? The message has not changed. And in the church that Jesus built, it ain't going to change. Notice what it says. Verse number 38. Then Peter said unto them, what's the word? Is that in your Bible? Turn from what I think, feel, and believe. Turn from self and sin and turn to God. That's what repentance is. He said, repent. We got to turn from our own way because our own way won't save us. And when we repent, what else does the scripture say? And is that in your Bible? I can't hear you. It's what? And what? And be baptized? Oh, somebody, there you go. Somebody reading ahead. What? How many? Everybody comes to Jesus by the same way. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. Read what else? Say it again. By whose authority is this? You remember that Jesus came to his disciples in Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter, and he tells us, look, he says, all power in heaven and in earth is given unto me. See, Jesus, if you go to heaven, nobody got power above Jesus. If you go down to the depths of the sea, nobody's got power. If an angel come to you, all power, Jesus says, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Because of the authority of Jesus, we go and we teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, when you're baptized by the authority of Jesus Christ, it's for the remission of sins. And look at this. And God's going to give you the gift of the Holy Ghost. Somebody ought to be baptized this morning. Somebody ought to come to Jesus. Don't assume you're saved. As members of the family of God, we stumble, we fall, we make mistakes. Bucky, I was going to say we make assumptions. Don't make assumptions. Brother, listen. The members of the family of God, we come back through confession, repentance, and prayer. If you're subject to the invitation, why don't you come at this time as we sing the song that has been selected. Yeah.